Today we're going to continue in our Worth Saving series. This is the fourth week of our series. And so in this series, we're talking about the Great Commission. We're talking about sharing our faith, evangelism. And, you know, this isn't the how-to series because first week I told you how to do it. You share what God's done in your life and how He's changed your life. And you use that to help share the gospel. And people respond to stories. And so to be able to hear how God came in and did something in your life is the best witness that you have to God. And so that's how you share the gospel. But we're talking Great Commission. You know, the Bible tells us, Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And, you know, this is one of those that he was talking to the 11 disciples that were standing there that day, and that they literally went into the world and preached the gospel. They went around in the known world at that time in the Roman Empire and started churches and spread the gospel and preached. But I believe that same call permeates not just through them, but all the way through the church to where we are today. And I believe that it is our responsibility to be sharing the gospel. And, you know, Lifeway did a survey a while back, and 80% of evangelical Christians believe that it is their personal responsibility to share the gospel, to talk about Jesus. But only 20% actually do it. And so, you know, the whole thing with this series is we're asking the question, why? Why are we not doing it? We know that we're supposed to do it, and we feel comfortable with doing it, but we don't do it. And so, you know, this came out of one of those times where God challenged me personally about my own sharing the gospel. Because, you know, being in ministry, I get to talk about Jesus all the time. But, you know, that is within ministry. Do I do that outside of church? Do I do that in my everyday life? And God challenged me on that because I realized that I really don't share the gospel with unbelievers very often outside of my profession. And so he asked me several different questions that challenged some of my thinking. And so I've been presenting these to you guys to maybe challenge you in some of this as well. The first week we talked about, do we truly value people? And we looked into the woman caught in adultery and how the Pharisees, they didn't value her. They were just using her to try to trip Jesus up. But Jesus truly loved her and reached out to her in that moment. See, he could have condemned her because she broke the law. And the law said that she needed to be stoned. But Jesus did not condemn. See, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to bring life to the world. And so that's what we talked about first week. Second week, we dove into, do we see people as worthy of our time to invest in them? Because the gospel is actually, the Great Commission is actually twofold. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, that could be an easy thing. It's like a one and done kind of thing. Like, let me tell you about the gospel and you walk away. But we see in Matthew, he had a little bit different take on what Jesus said. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And being a disciple is different from just someone who believes, because a disciple is a learner. And so he's calling us to go deeper with these people and build relationships and invest personally in people to make disciples. Are we willing to see people as worthy of our time to invest in them? Last week, we went a little bit deeper. Do we have prejudices that stop us from sharing our faith with certain people? And, you know, we looked at the Samaritan woman at the well and how Jesus stepped over some major cultural boundaries in order to reach a Samaritan village. And the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. It was a hatred that lasted centuries and centuries. And it was so bad that they weren't even, they really couldn't even interact unless it was business related. And so for Jesus to interact with a Samaritan woman was just like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, you don't talk to these people. You don't have anything to do with these people. And so we asked the question, do we have prejudice in our life that may stop us from sharing the gospel with certain people? And so today we're going to ask a little bit different question. So far we've focused on our attitude towards other people. And so today's question is a little bit different because our focus is our attitude on ourselves. The question is, do we feel worthy to share the gospel? And I believe this hits more people than some of the other questions do. Do we feel worthy of sharing the gospel? See, the Great Commission, it says go. You know, it was a command to everybody. You know, we're all supposed to do this. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You know, a lot of us quote this verse. We love this verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. I mean, this is exciting stuff right here, because when we accept Jesus Christ, the old man dies. I mean, that dude's buried, and new has come, a new life has come about. And you know, we're excited about that. This is a great thing. But he continued on in verse 18. He says, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, Christ did this for us, and then he passed the torch on to us and said, all right, now it's your turn. Go with the ministry of reconciliation. Go and tell the world about me and what I've done. Verse 19, it says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making an appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so we can see that it is our call to share the gospel. It is our call. It is something that we're supposed to do. But we ask the question, am I worthy of that calling? Am I worthy to talk about the goodness of God? I mean, I know my life. I know my struggles. I know my sin. And lots of times I don't feel worthy of standing up here and talking to you. Lots of times I feel like a hypocrite standing up here, because I struggle with a lot of the things that we talk about. But God has called me to get up here and talk about these things, and He wants me to talk about this. And so lots of times I question, am I worthy to even be doing this? See, I'm not the only one. In the Bible, we see several different stories. We see the story of Moses. And I love the story of Moses. I love doing character studies in the Bible, because I believe it can take you to a deeper level of understanding of who God is and how He interacts with us. But in the story of Moses, I mean, Moses was born in Egypt during the slavery in Egypt. And he was one of the lucky ones, because Pharaoh commanded that all male babies being born should be killed. And so Moses' mom protected him, and God had favor on him, and he ended up living in the palace with Pharaoh. Because of Pharaoh's daughter. And so he grew up as royalty, a prince of Egypt, while all of his people were slaves. And he knew he was a Hebrew. I mean, it wasn't like a secret that he didn't know, but he knew that he was a Hebrew. And so, you know, he had a heart for his people. And in fact, at one point in his life, he was out going about, and he saw a slave master beating one of his brothers, one of the Hebrews, and Moses goes and kills him and buries the body and tries to hide it. And so he felt like he was rectified. You know, he was beating one of my brothers, and so I retaliated. Well, the next day, Pharaoh finds out and wants to kill him for it. And so he runs. He gets out of Egypt, and he goes to a place called Midian, which is way out in the middle of the wilderness. And he's hiding from Pharaoh. And so he ends up, you know, meeting a woman and having kids, and he works for his father-in-law, and he's a shepherd. And so he's out in the wilderness for like 40 years as a shepherd. You know, he started off in the palace, but now he's a lowly shepherd out in the wilderness. And so one day, God shows up, and he begins to talk to him through the burning bush. A lot of us know that story. The bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed, and God begins to talk to him through this. And God's telling him, like, hey, I've heard the cries of my people in Egypt, and I see their bondage, and I'm coming to rescue them. And so Moses was like, oh man, this is awesome. You know, this is something that I've been looking forward to. And so Moses is getting excited. Then we go to verse 10 in Exodus chapter 3. God says to him, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh, and you must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? And who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And so here we see that God is calling him to go do something that God's already placed in his heart, but then he starts backpedaling, like, whoa. I appreciate that you're getting them out of Egypt, but who am I that you would call me to do this? Who am I to stand before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead your people out of Egypt? I love God's response. He said, I will be with you. There's another story I'm reminded of, the story of Gideon. You know, God had a calling on his life. And during this time, the Israel was being attacked by the Midianites. And so Gideon, he is like hiding from the people. In fact, he was threshing some wheat in the wine press. And he's like hiding from them so they wouldn't come take his wheat. And the angel of the Lord showed up. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now that's kind of funny, because he's literally hiding in a hole, trying not to get seen, and like running away from people, and he's being called a mighty hero here. So the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites, for I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? For my clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. But the Lord said to him, I will be with you. And so I think lots of times we feel like Moses and Gideon when it comes to sharing our faith. Because we know there's this call for us to be sharing our faith and leading people to Jesus. But we don't feel worthy a lot of times. We're like, who am I to speak? You don't know my struggles. You don't know my addiction that I'm caught in. How can I, being caught in this addiction, go and tell someone else about Jesus when I don't have it together yet? And I believe that this is some of our inner dialogue, in that we got to realize that God's not just sending us out there by ourselves, but he's telling us, go, but I'm going to be with you. But we still look at ourselves like, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. And so let me ask you this question. What is the inner dialogue going on inside of your head about the way you see yourself? What are the things that you think about yourself? You say, I'm not good enough. How can anybody love me? I'm not smart enough for that. What if they ask me a theological question that I can't answer? What then? And we don't have the right view of ourselves, because we see ourselves in our own strength. Just like Gideon, he said, I'm in the weakest clan of Manasseh, and I'm the weakest of my family. He said, I'm the weakest of the weak. How am I going to do this? But I love God's response in both of these. See, he told them to go. Moses, go back to Egypt and talk to Pharaoh. He told Gideon, go and defeat the Midianite army. But here's the thing. He didn't send them out by their own strength. He said, I will be with you. See, I think a lot of times we don't realize that as we're doing God's calling in our life and we're out sharing the gospel and we're doing that thing, is that it's not in our strength that we're supposed to do it in. It's not in our knowledge. It's not in our sophistication. It's not in... It is God working through us. See, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we do anything for God. You know what I'm saying? It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. And that's what he was telling these guys. Go, for I am with you. Because we see the worst in ourselves. We see our goof-ups. We see our sin. And if that's all that we're looking at, then we're never going to do anything for God. Never. So let me pose this thought to you. If you know that the all-knowing God of the universe, all-powerful, all-knowing, I mean, he's just awesome, he chose us to deliver his message. He chose us to deliver his message of grace and love. Do you think that he sees us differently than we see ourselves? Because as I look at myself, I am not worthy. I have weaknesses. See, when I'm up here talking to you, it's not me talking to you. Because if you knew me when I was younger, I was the kid that hid in the corner. Like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to be noticed. I mean, I was just happy to be, like, just be. You know, and I mean, I was terrified of talking to people and interacting with people. And in fact, what I would do in my mind was anytime I met somebody, whether it's someone my age or someone older, I would figure out why I was not as good as that person and why I shouldn't be friends or talk to that person. That was my life growing up. That I would find reasons why I was worse off than that person and put myself down. And see, it wasn't until I got a hold of God's Word and began to see what He said about me right here. Because God doesn't see me as I see me. When God looks at me, what does He see? He sees Jesus. He sees the blood of Jesus been applied to my life. And so He sees me as righteous. He sees me as holy. And He made me worthy. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Him. And what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. See, in myself, I'm not worthy to do this. But because of Jesus, He made me worthy. And so if I continue to see myself as just me, then I'm never going to accomplish anything for God. I'm never going to share my faith. Because I'm always going to find a reason why I shouldn't. But if I begin to look at myself the way God looks at me, the way that God sees me, see, He calls me His child. He says that I am loved no matter what. And that He accepts me. And that He has called me. And because He sees me that way, and He put His power, the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, I'm able to do what He asked me to do. But it's all for His glory. And I think that's why He chooses the weakest among the people, because it shows His glory even more. See, He could have went and found the greatest warrior out there to lead the people out of Egypt, to lead the people out of the hands of the Midianites. But He didn't choose the biggest and the baddest. But He chose the weakest. He chose the ones that had failed. He chose the ones that had goofed up. The ones that should never be even considered any kind of leadership in the church. But those are the ones He calls. Why? So He can show His glory through you. Are you willing to look past your mess ups, your goof ups? See, Jesus already paid the price for those things. In God's eyes, they're gone. They no longer exist. Are you willing to look at yourself through the eyes and the blood of Jesus and see who God made you to be and the potential He's placed in you and the callings that He's placed on you? Are you willing to look at that instead of your own failures? So here we got this battle going on. Now, who do I say that I am? Saying, who does God say that I am? See, having kids in school, you know, we all know the homework struggle, right? It's like you dread them saying, you know, those words, "I have homework tonight." Because you know, they've been in school for 8 hours today. They're tired, they're ready to play. But I know that with Owen, if I don't get that homework done before he gets tired, it's going to be a battle. And so, you know, he's in first grade. He's learning how to read. He's learning how to sound out words and all those kind of things. And so we'll sit down with him to help him do his homework, have him read a book to us or something, and he'll get going and he'll start struggling with it a little bit. And you know, he won't be able to say a word, and he'll finally say, "I can't do this. I'm so stupid." I'm like, "Son, you are not stupid." See, this is how you learn, is that you get in and you do it, and you have to struggle a little bit. But you can do this because you're a smart kid. And sometimes I wonder if God thinks that way about us, that when we're, "I'm too stupid to do that. I'm not good enough." I wonder if He looks down at us and says, son, you don't even know the potential that you have. You don't even know. I've paid all this price for you because I believe in you. And I've called you, and I know you can do it because I am giving you my power and my strength to do it. And so when we call ourselves names and we think low of ourselves, I just wonder how that breaks the heart of God, that we would talk about His creation that way. See, if you struggle in these areas, it's time to let God be the loudest voice in your life. We need to learn to turn off that self-talk sometimes about how we're not good enough, or that person that works with us that keeps telling us how awful we are, and let's turn on the voice of God in our lives and begin to understand who He's called us to be and who He's made us to be. God made you worthy. It's not about you, but it's about who God made you to be. And He has made you worthy. Let's go back and dive into the story of Moses real quick. So God has called him to go back into Egypt and free His people out of slavery. And I love the call that he did because, you know, Moses argued with God. Does anybody ever else argue with God besides me? Okay, there's a few of us in the room. Okay. Sometimes I argue with God, but Moses is going back and forth with God and arguing. He's like, God, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I stutter. I can't do this. And Exodus 4, verse 1, Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? See, I believe this gets to the heart of why a lot of us don't share our faith. What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they just laugh at me? What will they think? Will they think I'm stupid for believing? And we ask these questions and we let this fear build up on the inside of us. See, it's kind of like the same fear that we have of public speaking. Like, how many of y'all love public speaking? How many of y'all want to get up here right now and say a few words? There's like two in first service. There's two in here. You know what I'm saying? It's that fear of like, what if I get up there and they're like, laugh at me, or I say something stupid, or you know, it's that same kind of fear of like the fear of failure in front of a bunch of people. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we don't share faith, because we're afraid of that failure. Or what will someone think of me? And so, you know, this is what Moses is saying. Like, what if they won't believe me or listen to me? Verse 2, it says, the Lord asked him, what's that in your hand? Now, this doesn't seem like a very significant question, but he looks down. He said, a shepherd's staff. He's had a shepherd's staff in his hand for the last 40 years. It is a sign of failure in his life because he was once a prince in Egypt, and now he is a lowly shepherd. And he uses this staff every single day to help with the sheep, whether to fight off an enemy or to help, you know, do whatever with the sheep, help guide them. But he has a shepherd's staff in his hand. And I'm sure it was a constant reminder of how much of a failure he was. I was a prince and now I'm a shepherd. I'm a loser. And so God said, what's in your hand? Verse 3, he said, throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down on the ground and it turned into a snake, and Moses jumped back. Then the Lord said to him, reach out and grab its tail. And Moses said, you're crazy because it's a snake. Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him, and they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. So let me ask this question to you. What's in your hand? What is it that's in your life that you use every day? It might be a reminder of your failures in life. See, God wants to use what's already in your life. See, for the most part, He doesn't call you to some outrageous thing, but He's calling you for something that He's already placed in your hand, something that you use every day. What is it that God has in your life that you can use to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to people? Where is it that you work? Who is it that you hang out with? What is it that God's given you already that God wants to use for His glory? See, we can read through the life of Moses. That staff stayed with him. It performed miracles in Egypt. He struck the rock in the wilderness and water came gushing out. How many times did God use that staff, that reminder of failure, to show His glory in Moses' life? See, we don't need to look at our failures as a weakness in our life, but we need to give it to God and say, God, I want you to use this for your glory. See, that's putting you behind and saying, God, whatever it is you want me to do, let's do it. Are you willing to let God use your failures? Those things in your past that you're ashamed of, are you willing to let God use those things? Because He's going to use something that's already there. And that's why I always say this, that when you share the gospel, see, you can debate theology all day with people, and it's not going to change anybody's mind. But when you share your story of how God came and changed your broken life and brought life and goodness into your life, nobody can refute your story because it's what God's done in you. See, debating theology doesn't change lives, but sharing our story does. There's something about a story that people, they lean into and they listen to, and everybody loves a good story. Why not share the story of God's goodness in your life? Because I believe that's where God would have you. So here's the thing. Do I feel worthy of sharing the gospel? We need to settle that in our hearts today, saying that God has made me worthy, and that's all that matters. And so let's put to rest today the question. Let's push past the fear of rejection, the fear of people, you know, making fun of us, and let's do what God has called us to do. Let's go, knowing that He'll be with us all the way. See, when I step out in faith in what God's called me to do, He's the one that holds me up. He's the one that strengthens me. He's the one that performs the miracle. See, God just wants us to be faithful and obedient to His call. And then God is in charge of the results. Are we willing to give that to Him? See, it's not about how I feel, but it's about who God made me to be. And God made me worthy. Period. Father, thank You today, God, for all that You do. God, thank You for sending Jesus to this earth. God, to live a perfect life and to die on the cross, a sinner's cross, but You paid the price for all of our sin. God, we're so grateful for Jesus and all that He's done for us. God, I pray that You just help us to look past our failures. God, look past our sin. God, look past all those things, God, because You have already settled those things on the cross. God, help us to see us as You see us. God, help us to see ourselves as righteous, as holy, as loved, as called, as worthy. God, I pray that You put us in situations this week, God, that will put us out of our comfort zone, God, but we're able to share Your love and Your grace with people that desperately need it. God, especially this week as we'll be spending time with family, there may be some strained relationships, God. I pray that You use us for Your glory to mend relationships this week as we're celebrating Thanksgiving. Father, thank You for being so good to us. We love You. In Jesus' name. Prayer team, if you'd go ahead and come forward. Today we're going to end with a worship song. And my prayer today is that during this song that you spend some time with Jesus today. And that you let Him speak into you. Say, God, how do You see me? God, what is it that You've called me to do? And I just pray that You let God strengthen you today. If you need prayer, maybe you're struggling with a situation, maybe you suffer from that low self-esteem like I did, come and let people pray with you. Let them strengthen you. Let them speak into your life today. Let's all worship together.